Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago without a live studio audience. Yes, the live studio audience is very busy with lots of wonderful final exams. We wish them much mazel and success as they finish out their high school careers. Yes. Welcome everyone to this amazing, wonderful, delightful, special, awesome Monday morning post Shavuos, after the holiday of Shavuos, where we receive the Torah yet again and are energized to live a life of Torah. Well, we had quite a Shavuos at Olami 613. We had several Jewish young professionals who joined Rabbi Marcus and myself, but mainly Rabbi Marcus, for an incredible all-night learning session or sessions. And I'm really proud of Rabbi Marcus. He worked with our synagogue rabbi, Yisrael Moshe Gross, to put together an incredible packet of learning, and it really was an incredible evening. So, in addition to other young professionals that we hosted throughout the holiday. So, thank God, we are extremely excited that Jewish young professionals connected to the unbelievable, incredible holiday of Shavuos. And before we let those vibes go, I wanted to bring out one aspect of Shavuos that may not get the airtime, but really is an absolutely fundamental component of Torah and a whole fundamental component of life. And that is chesed. That is kindness. You know, there is a Megillah that we read, right? When people think of the whole Megillah, think of Megillas Esther, the book of Esther, the scroll of Esther. But on Shavuos, we read Megillas Rus. Now, in English, that is translated to the book of Ruth, R-U-T-H. But in Hebrew, if you are Svaldi, it is Rut, Ruti, Rut. But in Ashkenazi pronunciation, it is Rus. So Megillas Rus, the book of Rus, is read on Shavuos. And the question is why? One of the most fundamental reasons is because Rus is the book of chesed. It is the book of kindness. And a world that was made with kindness by the Almighty and whose Torah was given in kindness needs to have a people that reflect that kindness. So here's the game plan today. We're going to give a little bit of background about chesed in general. When I say chesed, it's kindness, but hopefully we'll have an even more robust definition of chesed by the time we're done. And then look at one or two spots in Megillas Rus where we see that chesed, that kindness going forward into the actual story of Rus. And then hopefully finish with a real life story about the impact of chesed. Okay, so we got the game plan. All right, without any further ado, let's talk about the background, the mystical, the fundamental aspects of chesed, of kindness. And it all starts with the fundamental principle that Hashem, God, is perfect. Hashem is perfect. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't lack anything. He did not sit on the psychologist or psychiatrist couch and complain how lonely he was and said, I am lonely. And the God's psychologist or psychiatrist said to him, you're God, why don't you create people? And those people will pray to you and will pump your ego. And God said, let there be light. And he created the world. That is not what happened. In fact, the little vignette that I just put out shows how ridiculous it is. Once we believe and know that the Almighty is perfect and does not lack anything, then perforce it must be that God did not need to create the universe. God did not need to create humanity or the Jewish people. It was an act of chesed. It was an act of kindness. The Almighty was not lacking one little bit. The only reason why Hashem said, "Let there be light," and made this entire amazing world with DNA and gravity and nephrons that filter our kidneys and hearts that pump and brains that think and birds that soar and skies that just blow away our imagination and sunsets and blue whales and the entire food chain and all sorts of variety of people and terrain. And God did that for only one reason: for us to be a giver, to give us the opportunity to live in this world. Okay, for what purpose? To be able to connect to Hashem in this world so that we can be close to Him forever and eternity in the next world. This world, as we mentioned many times here, money motivation is excruciatingly important, but it is the workout room before the eternal spa. It is the runway before we take off for eternal flight. It is a temporary world. This world, by definition, we are born, we live, and we die, hopefully, God willing, until 120. But it is a temporary world, and the goal of this world is for us to connect positively to the Almighty Himself. The Torah tells us how to do that. And the more we connect to Hashem in this world, the more we will be connected to Hashem in the next world, where we will bask in eternal bliss forever and evermore. And that is the ultimate chesed, kindness, that God went through this whole rigmarole to be able to give us the most amazing thing in existence, which is Him. God is the ultimate source of joy and pleasure and meaning and connection. And we earn that connection in this world, and it's expanded upon infinitely in the next world. So we see that the entire act of creation was an act of kindness for us. That God did an act of kindness for us that we will be able to connect with Him. And a further act of kindness was what? That the Almighty gave us the instruction book about how to connect to Him. And that is the Torah. And so therefore, the holiday of Shavuos focuses on chesed, because the entire basis of the world, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, says King David, the world is built with kindness, is literally true. Because without Hashem's kindness, He wouldn't have even started this project called this world. Now, once we understand that, one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is V'halachta Bedrachav, is that we need to go in the ways of Hashem. And just as Hashem is kind, so too we imitate Hashem and are kind to others. And I don't think there is any other people, nation, on planet Earth ever in history that has been so focused on kindness than the Jewish people. And I don't think it's even close. Okay, we'll hopefully save a few stories for later on. But if you look at any Jewish community, the entire community revolves around giving and kindness. If I just saw a notice up, danger. There's a few people who are swindling people in the community to borrow their credit cards and loans that they're not paying back, and etc. And it became such an issue that the rabbis of the community had to say something. And I'm trying to think, what other community? We have so many people just lending out their credit cards. So get that they're, you know, taking a ride for, right? Because people know who we are. We know that we are a people of kindness. All right, so let's take now the next step. Let's take a look in Megillas Ruth and see where is the kindness. And it's all over the place. But the book of Ruth starts with acts of lack of kindness. Elimelech was the leader of the de facto leader of the Jewish people at the time. And his wife Naomi and two sons lived in Bethlehem, which is Bethlehem. And there was a tremendous famine that came upon Israel at the time. And sadly, Elimelech made the decision that he could not bear and see the pain of his brethren and people knocking on his door. And if we want to be generous, we could say that it pained him so much to see the poverty that he couldn't bear to see it. But whatever the case is, he is definitely lacking in his chesed, and he picks up and moves to Moab, modern day Jordan. And he was punished, he was killed, he died, as did two of his sons as well. And therefore Naomi, whose name is Naim, pleasant, the pleasant one, saw this as a direct result of the fact that they were not living a life of chesed, even though it's difficult having hundreds of poor people knock on your door every day, which is what was happening. But nevertheless, she saw clearly that they were punished for not expressing chesed. Now, in the meantime, their two sons had married two women. One was named Ruth, and one was named Orpah. These were no ordinary Moabite peasants. These actually were princesses, the daughters of Eglon, who was the mighty Moabite ruler at the time. There's an entire question if they went through a drive-through conversion. How could it be that the greatest leader of the Jewish people's sons married non-Jewish women? It's a whole back and forth. Maybe there was a quick conversion, but it certainly wasn't a full conversion. And after 10 years of living together, after being married, the sons die. And there's a moment of truth. Will these women go with Naomi back to Israel because the famine had ended? Or will they go back to their previous lives in the palace? These ladies grew up as princesses. And one decides to go and to go back to her previous life. And her name was Orpah. Now, FYI, Oprah's parents wanted to name her Orpah, but made a mistake. I kid you not. That's what she says. But nevertheless, Orpah turns her back. Literally, Oreth is the back of the neck. She turns her neck and she goes back to her privileged life. And sadly, takes a moral turn to the worse. And ultimately, who descends from her is Goliath, the great Moabite giant, Philistine giant, who taunts the Jewish people. And Ruth, in her kindness, would not leave the moral ways of Naomi, her mother-in-law. The greatest kindness that Ruth did was that she stuck to her mother-in-law, even though her mother-in-law was literally had been punished for her, or at least her husband's behavior. She was down in the dumps, and yet Ruth said, I see a special light in your way of life. I am following you no matter what. That kindness was absolutely amazing, and what propelled Ruth to become eventually the great-grandmother of King David, who fought Goliath, by the way. You see the King David, David and Goliath story. Their mothers, eventually, it's not exactly, but the mother lines upstream were sisters. And that's the decision. And that's the picture the Torah is painting. If we are going to dedicate ourselves to chesed and kindness, we are going to produce amazing people like King David. And if not, if we live a life of indulgence and taking, then ultimately we create the Goliaths of this world. And so further, they come back now, Ruth and Naomi, they come back to Beit Lechem, and they come back, and the townspeople were not so generous, and they're welcome back. And they say, they could not believe it. Is this Naomi? Is this the great matriarch who left wealthy and respected, is now coming back in tattered clothing, poor, broken, having lost literally her male relatives? And at that point, Ruth, a princess, asks Naomi, will you give me permission to go glean in the fields? There are agricultural laws built into the Torah. You see, the Torah itself has tzedakah built into the Torah structure of money, and specifically with agriculture. If there were sheaves that were left behind in a row after the harvesters went through a row, then those were the property of the poor people. So imagine a scene in a field, a wheat field, a barley field, where the reapers are coming and with their sickles and they're cutting down the wheat. If any of those sheaves hit the ground, those are property of the poor. And so therefore you would have a built-in system for the poor. And Ruth volunteered, said, Mommy, let me go and glean because we have nothing to eat. Now, can you imagine this princess who is no youngster herself, according to calculations, was probably 40 at the time, doing that act of kindness to be able to bring in some food for her mother-in-law and herself? Truly amazing. And the story goes on and on. And we see that because of those acts of kindness, and later on that of Boaz, who eventually marries Ruth, and from them eventually becomes the progenitor of King David himself. Those acts of kindness are those acts that imitate Hashem's original act of kindness in creating the world. When we imitate, when we walk in Hashem's ways, that's when Hashem smiles down on us. You know, I was trying to think of a personal act of kindness. And, you know, thank God, our family, we're blessed. Part of our fabric of life is that we host others. But I wanted to say a quick story about a kindness that truly changed my life. And I think we all have certain incidents where someone stood up for you, where someone went out of their way. Could be large or could be small, that act of kindness made an eternal impact. So really briefly, I was 20 years old at the time. I was in Washington, D.C. I was an intern in the summer of 1993, the first summer of Bill Clinton's administration. And I was really getting into my Judaism, but I'd never put on tefillin before. So before I went to the White House, I went to Kesher Israel, which is a synagogue in Georgetown. Some of you might know it. Still there, still rocking away. And I had never really put on tefillin before. Certainly not consistently. And I certainly didn't have a pair of tefillin. So here I am dressed in my GQ best, my White House tie and whole getup, coming into the Frum Shul. And I asked if I could borrow a pair of tefillin. And there was a very nice man there named Arthur Alpert. Now, I don't know if Arthur is still around. I kind of doubt it. But he was elderly, very elderly at the time. But he was the old man of the old man shul, taking care of everything. And about 10 feet away from where I would sit in the morning is what we call the Amud, where the Shaliach Tzibur, where the Chazan, the leader of the service, would pray. And in that pillar, Amud, there was the tefillin. And so he showed me where it was. I did it. First day, I got it. Second day, I got it. The third day I show up, I see something absolutely amazing. Took my breath away. The tefillin were waiting in my spot. I can't describe how, as an outsider, what that felt like to have someone think of you, to say you're at home, that's your seat, and the tefillin You don't have to walk 10 more feet to go get the tefillin every day. The tefillin will be waiting for you. I remember that chesed, that kindness, locked in my love for the Jewish people, locked in my love for Torah, locked in my love for the path of which I was embarking. And I think it's safe to say that that chesed yielded incalculable and inestimable fruits for the Jewish people. I'm very proud and happy to say. Truly blessed. So folks, let's take a page from Megillas Rus. Let's take a page from Shavuos. And let's focus on chesed. Let's focus on one act this week that we could do. Maybe not even that big. A phone call to an old friend. Offering someone a ride to and from the airport. Something. Something that will make someone else's life just a little better. And that way, we will be walking in Hashem's ways. And we'll be walking in our great Bubby's way, Roos's way. And in King David's way. And God willing, we will meet speedily in our days the descendant of King David, the final Messiah and Redeemer, speedily in our days. God bless. Have an amazing week. And God willing, we will see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.